podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month, a savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance.
For your free quote, go to SelectQuote.com. SelectQuote.com. That's SelectQuote.com.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Full details on example policies at SelectQuote.com/commercials.
Yes, listeners, it's the 5-year plan podcast.
Hey.
Pod 166.
No, really? Wow.
Yes, it is.
166.
Where's that time gone?
I can't believe it.
Wow. I don't know, but here we are.
Unbelievable.
We got some sponsors. We're sponsored by JCIS, the Global Research and Brand Consultancy from South London. Ooh. Visit jc-is.com.
I will.
Good. And, of course, Vector Printing. For all your printing embroidery needs, go to vector.co.uk. And that's Vector with a...
K.
K.
He says he will. He will.
I might do.
Well, you can if you want. I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to force you to do it.
Nobody's forcing me to do anything.
He always breaks his promises.
Oh, Kev, you always say that every Monday morning.
Puts people down.
Right. Vector with a K, of course, are our sponsors. And you can now get Vector with a K on your very own FYP branded T-shirt. We're releasing.
Releasing
your body.
Releasing a T-shirt.
We're releasing
into the wild. Just see what happens.
What do you mean? You can find it. You've always told me that they're there for all of my print and embroidery needs. So had I wanted a T-shirt with Vector with a K on it, you always told me they would have printed it for me. You're now telling me this was a lie.
No, they have printed it. They are available. Basically,
they can't hang around waiting for you to come up with ideas.
Vector
got to come up with their own ideas.
Vector have got a new system where they can do one-off printed T-shirts. So anybody can email them a photo or whatever, and they can do it one-off rather than big bulk stuff that you have to do.
What, you mean like those shops you can see in every high street with insert your own name here?
I've
been around for about 30 years.
Yeah, but then you don't have to go out of the house. You can just do it from home.
You just do it online.
So, anyway, let me get through this.
Interesting. You don't have to go out of the house.
You can finally get your I Belong to Jerry Murphy t-shirt once and for all.
Yeah. Probably could get that done. So anyway, we're releasing... We've released, with Vector, of course, two t-shirts. One's got the FYP logo on, very sexy FYP logo, and the other one has got Vector with a K on it. They both look really good. We've already tweeted them out. They're on our Facebook page. And we're also going to give... two listeners the chance to win one of these t-shirts.
Ooh, wow.
All you have to do is tweet us or send the tweet I love at FYP fanzine and at Vector with a K, as in Vector with a K. Not their handle.
Well,
anyway, tweet,
this is going well.
Tweet at I love FYP fanzine and at Vector with a K, and that's it. And we will pick two people from those tweets. No, you could do if you want, but they can do that if they want.
This
but
is what the lottery show should be like.
Let's just make it simple.
I'd really watch it.
All you got to do.
I wouldn't know how to turn over.
Yeah.
Can we turn over?
Don't you, Granddad, turn over. Miming turning a knob on a TV like we used to do in the old days.
Right.
Walking up to the telly and turning it over.
Let me get this done. All you got to do is tweet at, I love at FYP fanzine and at Vector with a K, and we will select two people from those to win the FYP t-shirts, and we will announce it on next week's pod.
Fantastic.
So, great, really
there
good.
You go.
Really good, great. Really excited. Brilliant.
Good. Right. That took way longer than it should have done. Let's talk about, let's introduce who's on the pod. Andy Street.
Hi.
James Endicott.
Hello.
Kevin Day.
Good evening. Morning.
Good evening.
Afternoon. Delete. As appropriate.
Good evening to you.
Depending what time you're listening.
Yeah.
So, Palace lost again. 3-1 at home, Spurs. Mm. We scored a goal.
No, we didn't.
We had a goal scored for us.
Yeah. Yes, they did. Yeah.
Baby steps.
Yeah, exactly. But we lost 3-1. After the game, a lot of people down the pub were feeling a bit depressed and on social media. I actually think we played quite well and that actually wasn't that bad, and we probably would have chalked this one down as a defeat anyway before the season or even in the last few weeks.
Oh, well, why even bother turning up then?
Yeah.
But I think we played quite well. Kevin, what do you think about that?
I couldn't get to the game for family reasons, but most of the pundits and reports seemed encouraging. So Peter Reed yesterday on Goals on Sunday was very, very praiseworthy of Palace. Did that cliche about we'll play worse than that this season and lose. And we had more shots on target than previous games. We were unlucky, but Tottenham arguably have got the strongest squad in the Premier League, I would say. This is probably their best chance ever of possibly winning the title, certainly getting into the top two. So there's no disgrace. And it was, I think, a more encouraging performance. And as Peter Reid said, if you can't win a game, you can at least take some heart from the performance. I mean, and to be fair, I mean, hitting the bar twice in 15 seconds, Lloris made some really good saves. But again, it's one of those games that you, at the start of the season, you'd go, that's probably a game we might not win, even if we'd been playing much better. And what is important is that the next five league games are Bournemouth, Swansea, Norwich, West Brom and Watford. And they're the important games now, because if we've got... yeah, if we come out of those five games with 40 points, we'll be laughing. If we've still got 31 points after those five games, then we might start to get a bit...
Well, that's when this mini slump becomes a full-blown crisis.
Yeah, I mean, the fact I think we do have to... I think we said this last week, the only disastrous result was the Villa one. Mm-hmm. To be fair, we played Chelsea, who beat Arsenal yesterday, so we've lost to Chelsea, Man City, Tottenham. Yeah. Under normal circumstances, that wouldn't be too bad. If we had 37 points and we lost to those three teams, we probably wouldn't be that upset, but... It's just now we've got a run of games at Leicester City. For some reason, Leicester always seem to be playing teams, but
they are the league.
But near the bottom of the table, they never seen the part. I don't know how it works out. We've got a run of games now against all of which we would have been expected to win before Christmas. So I think that's where we judge the season after those five games.
Agreed,
I think we are good enough to win. And for what I can say, from what I can gather and watching the extended highlights, we gave Spurs a really good game, but in the end, they deserved to win with a fluky deflected goal from Dele Alli.
I need to see it back. Was it deflected, James? Yep. I'm not sure.
About I don't know. I don't know.
It's still a good goal, isn't it?
the keeper was couldn't see his blocked. There were players in front of him. Dan and Jedinak was spinning around like a ballerina with his head down trying to hit the ball.
Yeah.
And Dan were in front of him. But you know, it was a great strike. I don't think it was a wonder goal. Yeah. But it was a good goal. You know?
I think Chadley's goal after that was actually better. But
Jedinak should have whacked him. A lot of time and space in which to do it. It's not a wonder goal. I mean, when I first heard about it on Saturday afternoon, I thought, even I, because normally I don't watch goals scored against us, but I thought I'll make an exception because clearly this is a goal the like of which Pele and George Best put together never scored. Mm. I've seen better goals in Sunday football, frankly, and it takes a deflection.
Yeah, but they're building up because it's Dele Alli.
Of course, they're building up. And, you know, what a surprise, Roy Hodgson was there. You know, and they were building it up, and there's always, coming up to every major tournament that England are going to be in, there's always somebody, isn't there? They're building it, and he's the one.
And he was good. He had a good game. He was a good player.
He did have a good game. But he does have that little bit of devil about him, doesn't he?
He's got a bit of devil about him, hasn't he? It's all right for him to do what he does.
It's fine for him to kick a guy in the back, isn't it? Yeah. Because he's got a bit of devil about him, and he's English, and he's going to play in the Euros.
Whereas
Wickham, who was very stupid, I hasten to add, absolutely ridiculous what he did.
Well, do we all agree that Wickham's elbow was intentional and he deserves a retrospective? He's been charged today.
What do you think?
There's no intent there, is there? And for Tomlin's more or less collided with his elbow rather than the other way around.
Why can't you be as rational as I am about Dele Alli's goal? Why do you have to be argumentative like that?
I'd already left before that.
You're clearly being contrary.
You'd already left.
It was a bad challenge.
It was a bad challenge. I mean, he deserves to
be sanctioned for it. But
he was being pulled back. That's neither here nor there.
Exactly.
You've got to have the experience in that. And also, there's two ways of looking at it. Either it doesn't matter because our strikers aren't scoring goals anyway, or we've lost our most experienced striker for three games. It's very similar. It'd be interesting to see how Pardew reacts, because he was furious with Jedinak when he did it at West Ham.
Yeah.
Really cross with him. So,
will the ban include the FA Cup game, or is it just the league games?
No, it's in the three games, so it would include Stoke game.
So it'll include the Stoke game.
I don't know. Yeah, well, he hasn't replied to it yet. He's got till tonight.
Well, no, 6:30 tomorrow. But he'd be an idiot if he does, because he'd get a four-game ban then for malicious appeal. But I think James has got a point, though. Dele Alli's knee into the back of... Vertonghen was really unlucky.
Stabbed in his hand as well later
on. Well, yeah, but Vertonghen was really unlucky because the elbow was stupid and it's a terrible thing to do, but you're unlikely to put somebody out of the rest of the season with an elbow to the face. Whereas what Dele Alli did to Kabay was malicious and could really have hurt him. But and I failed to see why that hasn't been cited in the same way because the ref took no action at the time. So I just think it's as bad, and it's more likely to put Kabay out of a couple of games for injury than what Wickham did to Vertonghen. And Wickham was, of course Wickham was being held back and the ref didn't see it, but again, that's neither here nor there. You can't do that. And
he's not unlucky. Vertonghen's unlucky in the way he's fallen, because he's fallen onto his knee and potentially got a bad knee injury. But Wickham, the actions of throwing your elbow in the face is just so... It's obviously very dangerous, but it's just so petulant and just so...
Well, also,
sort of
it's just,
even
I
just
mean,
doing
I,
that.
Yeah, people of my generation and James's generation, you still hear them. You still hear the old footballers talk about the old days when you could do stuff like that. It's just stupid because they know full well there's cameras. They know the rules. They know you can get cited for it afterwards. You couldn't forgive it, but you could almost understand it. If that rule wasn't in place, if there was no way of charging him afterwards, you'd go, oh, well, you know, he took a chance and he got away with it. But when they know that they're going to be done... That really is daft, especially in the situation we're in at the moment when
he's our number one choice.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if he actually wanted to clock him fully square with the elbow. I'm sure he wanted to rough him up a little bit because they were roughing each other up all over the pitch. I think it's one of those you can't really complain about having been sanctioned about it afterwards, and it does look very bad, but it's one of those that it's kind of connected in a way that sort of 9 out of 10 other times it might not have. And that doesn't justify it at all.
And it's also heat at the moment.
It just adds to everything else. I mean, yes, you're saying, JD, that we played quite well, and we did play quite well, and it wasn't a Villa performance, but it's another game without scoring properly. Yeah. It's another game without getting any points. Added to that, you just feel there's that little niggle going on. Patience. You can lose two or three games and you can be buoyant still and still be positive. It seems to me that maybe there's a bit of negativity coming in, a little bit of frustration, you know. And I think that's got something to do with that.
Having said that, though, I do think we are going through a spell, and all football fans think this, when decisions aren't going for us in terms of, we talked about this, the Chelsea game, you know, it should have been yellow and red cards for Chelsea. Things seem to be happening to us that aren't that are being punished, and other teams are doing them and aren't getting punished. It's probably not right, but that's how it seems. And if it seems that to the fans, it probably seems that way to the players as well. The rubber of the green's not... Mm. You know, the penalties that we were getting at the start of the season, we're not getting... Mm. We're getting yellow cards for fouls that other players... Certainly other teams aren't getting. So that's probably where the frustration is coming.
Wouldn't you rather have players that are frustrated by those kind of things run, rather than players, say, you know, when Newcastle are going through their worst patch, players turning up looking like they don't give a shit? You'd much rather they're frustrated.
Yeah, but I'd rather they took their frustrations out by scoring goals or in legally justified ways.
Yeah, well, I mean, they would if they could. That's what happens when you go on bad runs.
You know, I think
it's not a bad run. We haven't scored goals all season.
That's true.
I mean, you look at their first goal on Saturday, and Delaney was at fault for not jumping. Yeah. I mean, well, he didn't even jump. I think there was one foot was on the ground the whole time. But his face afterwards, and I've seen the replay a lot of times, he was obviously really annoyed with himself and very frustrated. But again, it's just that general frustration that's creeping into the whole Palace team at the moment. Mm. And I just think, moving forward, we've just got to get out of this because, you know... All right, we're 11th. If you said at the beginning of the season, 31 points, 11th by February, blah, blah, blah. The 8th's really good. Great. Bite your hand off. But, you know, we are, but we're in a bad run. We need to get out of it, full stop.
We need to do a Watford. Watford lost 4 on a spin and then came up against Newcastle, came up against the first bad team, for want of a better word. And now we're entering that phase. So we need to... There's no doubt we can do it. I mean,
of course we can do it.
Yeah, and I've got a feeling we probably will have enough points after these 5 games, but... It's the longer it goes on, the less funny it is. But I think we do need to judge it against those teams rather than...
Well, it does then put pressure on those results, doesn't it?
Well,
the
thing is with Delaney and Dan and the whole back forward, again, we've talked about this, is that they know that the minute the other team score, that's the game gone, more or less. Because as soon as they equalise, the whole back four knows that we're not going to score. Simple as that. Or as soon as the team goes ahead of us, the back four knows. So that puts much more pressure on them. because then suddenly, you know, Pardew's probably sending them out saying, look, if you can't win, at least get a 0-0 or something like that. So the onus is on them much more than it has been in the past.
I did think Wilf had a great game on Saturday.
Yeah, yep.
I thought Wilf was back to the Wilf that we know and love, causing a lot of problems, putting in some great balls, making use of himself.
Yeah.
It's just unfortunate he didn't have a partner up there with him. He didn't have anybody up there with him to. Mm. I'm not saying Wickham had a bad game, but it just didn't seem to. But I thought Wilf was the one of the.
But he got the assist for the goal.
Yeah, well, that's really good as well, because that's clearly, because we've talked about him taking responsibility. And don't forget as well, we have got. I'm fairly convinced that if we do get somebody in, it'll be the likes of Adebayor or Bentner on loan. But we have got Bolasie to come back, and that will give everybody a real lift.
It'll be like a new signing, Kev.
It's not a phrase I've heard before in this stage of the season. But yeah, do you know what?
You put your
finger right on the nub.
I just thought of it. It just came to the top of my head. It'll be like a new signing.
Well, by the next podcast. The next podcast will be after deadline day. So the very next pod, we could be talking about a new signing.
Well, we could, but
could have Adebayor and Bentner dream team up front by then.
And Shamak.
Well, yeah. Think of the pace and dynamism in that front.
Would they have ever played together for Arsenal? Any of those? Would they have?
They must have. Same time. Maybe.
But by definition, whoever we get in now isn't who we wanted to get in. There's going to be a panic buy, surely. That's because if we had somebody lined up, we would have gotten by.
Well, there's talk today that we're favourites again to sign Remy, but it's very difficult to reach too much into that.
Remy's become available again because Chelsea are trying to sign this Pato.
Yeah.
And that would be great, because Remy's publicly said this afternoon he's frustrated by his lack of first team appearances. There's talk of us being favourites to sign Barini from Sunderland, whoop-de-doo. The kid from Utrecht, right? You know, Nicholas Benton, and that really would send a shot across the bows of all those other teams around us. Yeah,
on the
one
plus
thing
side,
we need, the one thing we need is
an
aging Dane with pink boots who has to pick his number. So it's just, it shouldn't have gone this far. I mean,
we always get the transfer window right at the end of it. Why not get the beginning of it?
It's one of those things. The club have talked about this for ever since we got promoted to the Premier League, that we have to get a Premier League mentality, that on and off the pitch we have to start conducting ourselves. Well, we get second guessed every transfer window.
Why is that though?
I don't know. Ask Steve Parrish.
I don't know.
Why would Charlie Austin not want to come to us, which apparently was the case?
Because he was on 100 grand a week.
Well, I don't know. He was offered to us at 15 million quid. So what's happening? Why are we not in for the likes of Naismith? It would be nice to be, again, because it's sort of reverted back to Old Palace when we're not even being told. It's, you know, Pardew, I think, said once that he's got his eye on a couple of people, not the ones in the papers, and we need to freshen it up. That's it. I don't think there's any harm in telling us that even if they say we tried to get someone this week, but it fell through.
But we have, like, we haven't, or even the last few windows, we've done all right. And we've got James McArthur in last summer. That was a good signing. We had that Pulis January window where we got Dan, Ledley, Hennessy in.
We had the window where we brought in Kevin Doyle and an 82-year-old Andy Johnson.
There's obviously been bad ones, but like...
And Snogo.
That was a really good one.
Well, Suarez came in that window. So you're right. It does feel like...
We constantly have
these windows at very Palace and very last minute. But actually... When you analyse them, there have been some good signings in some of these windows, but
I'm less worried about other windows. Cause
I don't care about analysis. I care about the now. I care about the now. I care about what's going on in the next 7 days, which will help determine how we go to the end of the season.
I agree. We can't talk about the next 7 days.
And I know we won't go down. We probably won't go down.
That's true.
But,
yeah.
But we want some positivity. We want some positivity on the pitch, and it comes from everywhere, from up top all the way down through to the fans, and that's all we want.
Yeah, no, but that goes back to Saturday. I don't think we were that bad. I think there was positives on Saturday.
That's fair enough.
I mean, they had 24 shots. They could have been 3-0 up within half an hour. Christian Eriksen created more chances than any other player in the Premier League last weekend. Yeah. But other than that...
He's a brilliant player, though, Eriksen.
Yeah, but we're talking about Spurs.
We were in the game for longer periods than we have been recently.
And also, we're playing a Spurs team. I think most seasons, we always assume Spurs are this nearly team that don't do anything or never quite reach their potential. This is a Spurs team that is their best ever squad, easily.
Deepest squad, and without a doubt, yeah.
They're getting the best out of all those kind of nearly players, like Chadley and Eriksen and all that. They're playing very well. Spurs are really, really good team, and we played okay.
Well, we were talking there about Dele Alli and having a bit of a go about some of his slightly, more I wouldn't call it malicious, but the slightly more snide side to his game. But having him and Dembele at the base of that midfield, they have that real physicality, Spurs. Mm. And it's something that I've said throughout the season. I think we're too timid in the centre of the park. Mm. And I think that we brought in someone in Kabai who physically is a bit like MacArthur and slightly diminutive and doesn't really strike the fear into opponents. Mm. Whereas Spurs are a great example that if you have someone who is a bit more physical, albeit technically gifted and mobile as well, at the base of your midfield.
West Ham are the same, though.
We said it last week about Leicester and Kante, all the teams who are doing particularly well and who are towards the upper echelons of the league and performing well do have that sort of base in their midfield. And I thought, again, we were overrun a little bit. And goodbye, MacArthur, whether it's just because they're a bit knackered and they've played every week or whether it's the fact that they're not quite the right mix, I'm still not entirely sure. But we were outclassed, I think, in most departments. And that's going to happen against a team like Spurs. I think they'll comfortably finish in the top four. I think they'll push people a lot closer for the title than they're being given credit for at the moment. They've got a good outside chance at that. I think Arsenal or Man City will probably ultimately win it, but Spurs will probably be there or thereabouts until probably about a month to go in the season. So they're a good side. The just disappointing thing was that, it's a goal conceded in, the 84th minute to Dele Alli, and then obviously the third one's going to come. But it's yet again an instance where we seem to lack that resilience that we once had. There would be a time where you thought, right, in the 84th minute, is one all. That's Palace. If there's one thing Palace will do here, it's hold out. Yeah, backs to the wall.
True.
They'll be disciplined. They'll make sure that everyone knows their job. That they sort of transition very, very quickly as soon as they lose the ball and get back into shape. That they're blocking every single shot. They're not letting cheap balls go in from the wings. All that sort of stuff. And that's not really there anymore. And whether that's coached or whether that's down to the individual players, we're not as resilient and we're not as defensively disciplined. And that's why we leak goals here and there.
Well, there was an excuse against West Ham, because we were down to 10 men. But it happened at City as well, you're right, against City.
He did bring Jednak on, which most people would think, oh, that's him clearly doing that. Yeah. But then Jednak was the guy that got spun for the goal.
Yeah, Jednak's legs have gone. I think
I think he's past it.
I don't think we'll go down and we all know the areas that we have to improve. But before Christmas, we talked about us looking like a Premier League team for the first time. I think we look like a Championship team again now. I don't think we look that much better than we did when Pulis.
I understand what you're saying.
I think you look individually, you look dispassionately, objectively at our players, and for the last 6 weeks we look like we're struggling. We don't look like. And I know that's a lack of confidence or a lack of form, and these are the same players that have got good results and did look like a Premier League team, but.
I think it depends on who's playing.
It's just tiredness and lack of depth, really.
We've got a first 11, and they have to keep playing.
But this is the thing we've been talking about week in, week out since August. We haven't got any depth, and it's now starting to show.
Yeah.
When it was August, September, we had a few good results. It was fine. We all said we've got no depth. We all said, I wonder what's going to happen when there's some suspensions or some injuries or they get tired. And here we are now, nearly in February.
We all thought it was going to be all right. I think we overestimated
quite how good the depth in the squad actually. It's the best squad we've ever had. That's undoubted, and it's got some very good players in it. But it's got players in there. Junior Lee is not a top 10 Premier League footballer. Jordan March is not a top 10 Premier League footballer. Joe Ledley is no longer, even if he once was, a top 10 Premier League footballer. Milo Jednak is not a top 10 Premier League footballer, and all these players are playing a part now in the team. Bakary Saka is not a top 10 Premier League footballer, and they are the immediate second string. And way you improve your sort of overall standing in the league is you keep on incrementally making the worst position in your squad or your team better. Mm-hmm. You don't keep on going out and buying marquee signings. You go, right, we need to make sure that the cover that we've got are as good as, if not better, than the people that are in those positions. And at the moment, we don't really have that. And it's really exposed us having a few injuries in some key positions.
Watford would probably be arguing that they haven't got any players that have...
Yeah.
Leicester, you can't.
Oh, that's exactly my point.
And I think at the end of the season, the last podcast of the season, we'll probably be sitting there going, God, we panicked a little bit, didn't we?
Yeah.
We overreacted at that really bad run, and the Villa result was the only bad
one. When have we ever admitted that we've been wrong in the past?
But I just, and I think it's a corollary of the fact that we've had the last two seasons, the second part of the season has been really good, and I think we're all expecting the same thing to happen again. And
maybe it's the other way around, for sure.
At the moment, it just feels a little bit, it's a throwback. And again, we all laugh because we go, oh, it's Palace, it's bound to happen. But it just feels worse than the start of the last two seasons did. You know what I mean? Because we expected to be in trouble then. And why it feels worse is because now we're underachieving.
Yeah. Basically. Well, it feels worse because it's easier to get to when you're doing so badly and there's nothing to lose.
Yeah.
It feels a lot better than when you start doing well. But does it feel like we're sort of potentially throwing away sort of our best ever opportunity to finish?
I think it's just one of those sort of frustration things. And I was reading something about Everton today and predictions about them at the start of the season, and it said, you know, effectively they're exactly the same in terms of the amount of points they'll probably get at the end of the season as they were under Moyes, but they now get it in a different way. Mm. They now go on ridiculously good runs where they look like a top four side, and then they go on these ridiculous losing runs because they don't have the same sort of discipline or resoluteness. Like they don't have the same way of playing under Martinez now as they did under Moyes. And in some ways we're a little bit like that with Pardew. Previously we had Pulis where you'd be like win, draw, loss, win, draw, loss, loss, 1-0, 0-0, 0-1, 1-0, 0-0, 1-0, 1, and now it's just completely the opposite way. It's more erratic, and it means that, you know, we're capable at times of getting some ridiculously good results like winning away at the Bridge, but then capable of going on
what Alan Pardew always said would happen.
Yeah,
he always said that, you know, we always knew that we would get this type of football. And I guess the bit when it's not going so well is when we start to scratch our heads and get a bit worried about it.
Everton fans would be more upset than we are. So I watched the game against Swansea. They are, but I mean, Swansea deserved to beat them yesterday, and arguably Everton probably in most positions have got better players in each position than we have. I mean, they've got some really top quality players, but it's just not happening for them. And they're, you know, they look great going forward, but they're still not scoring that many goals. And the Everton fans were really unhappy yesterday, and rightly so at the end of that. Mm. So it's not just us, and there's still, it's a dose of reality that's unwelcome.
I don't like reality.
No, I don't. Of course, neither of us do. That's why there's no mirrors in this house.
A player from Saturday then, still question marks over from a lot of fans. Jason Puncheon, how do you think he played on Saturday? Still out wide, for me is out of position. Do you think he played all right?
He had moments, I think.
Still not getting the best out of him.
I think it's going to be interesting what happens to him when Bolasie comes in, basically, because you'd imagine at the moment, depending on who we get in, Puncheon would be the one who goes, I would say. But at the moment, it looks like Puncheon wouldn't mind that himself. He he's one of those players. He has five or six really good games and then five or six off the boil. But at the moment, he just doesn't really look like he particularly wants to be there.
Mm. Well, I think he's personally playing that position. I think he's much better than number 10 in the middle.
I don't think it's necessarily that he's playing like he doesn't want to be there. I just think it just seems like he's playing a bit out of his depth.
Yeah, the game seems to be passing him by.
He's not quite on it.
And when he's on it, for want of a better expression, he goes looking for the ball, and at the moment he's not looking for the ball. And we know he's the sort of player who wants to be involved in wants to take every free kick, every corner. Yeah, when he's really good, it's like Liverpool away last year, the last day of the season, he was into everything. He was demanding the ball and getting it and turning and looking, and it's just not. And again, we've talked about that long and hard, whether it's because he's a bit upset that Kabay's the main man now, I don't know, but for whatever reason at the moment he's not. But who do we drop it for? That's the trouble. We go round and round in the same circles because there's no one on the bench that's better than him, arguably.
There isn't anybody on the bench that's going to come on and make a difference either, is there?
Yeah.
You know, which is one thing that we don't have that a lot of teams around us do have or seem to have. I don't know. We just don't. Yeah. It's that element of surprise that we're missing as well at the moment.
Yeah. Unless they sign someone, which they won't, but.
But you know, you never know. You never know. Well, but you came into this pod today all like, oh, we're all right. And now you're over there.
25 minutes later.
And now you're crying.
You guys have brought me down.
I brought you down, man.
Negativity is washing over me.
I'm happy we're 11th in the Premier League and it's still in February. Of course I'm happy. Hmm. You know, we've got 31 points. And yes, you're right. You know, I'm feeling a bit better now because you've pointed out to me we've actually lost to three really good teams.
No, yeah. We have.
We haven't played that badly. No, the only one we played bad against was Villa.
The Villa results.
Exactly. And they're rubbish.
Yeah, but we played all right at Southampton in the cup.
Played right off.
Bournemouth, a point away at Bournemouth isn't a bad result in a great scheme. Swansea was really, really, that was disappointing. But our home form has been like that all season. And we know these are things that have got to be rectified next season. The only thing that worries me is that we've said that the last two seasons. There's two things that have got to be rectified is our home form and scoring goals. And it's not.
Yeah.
And these things don't magic themselves. You know, players we've got don't suddenly turn into... You know, Wickham, if, you know, it's like Sonogo. People say, oh, if Sonogo's goal wasn't disallowed, he might have scored five. No, wouldn't it? He wouldn't. He would have scored one goal if his goal hadn't been disallowed. That's what is. You know, if Wickham people say about Wickham, as soon as he gets one, he won't. The floodgates aren't going to open.
No, he'll get one.
So we're not going to magically get goals from the players we've got. You know, Bolasie, with his enthusiasm, his drive and determination, will make some things happen. But... I'll be really interested to see whether they think they need to bring someone in just to say to the fans, look, there we are, or whether they go, look,
sure.
Maybe.
We're not bringing somebody in for the sake of it.
Just finally then, for part one, when you were talking there about these are the things we've talked about the last couple of seasons, the home form and scoring more goals, at what point do you have to admit that maybe it's not the playing squad, but maybe it's the system that Palace play?
Well, we don't, I mean, you know, there are still people who say it's not fully Pardew's squad yet, that he's still... You know, playing with the cards that Pulis left him to an extent, not just in terms of actual players, but in terms of the mentality that Pulis put into the Palace team.
He has been there over a year now.
He has been there over a year, this was, you know. That's a good question. It is a good question. As I said last week, it's one that Newcastle.
Do you know the answer?
No, sure. That's not my job, is it? I just ask the questions.
And did you know the answer?
Yeah.
I wasn't listening. But do we blame it on the system? You can sort of, you know, end up agonising over that type of question a bit too much. You think ultimately it does come down to squads. I mean, Leicester, if you look at how they're playing this season, it comes down to the fact they've got Kante, the huge guy at the base of their midfield, Vardy playing on certain outballs, and Mara buzzing between the lines and being in brilliant form. Ultimately, you can send out Barcelona and tell them to go and play a 4-4-2, but they've got such amazing players that it really is, you know, a fairly moot point. So part of it comes down to instruction, but part of it comes down to the fact you've got two fairly average fullbacks defensively. You've got central midfield who aren't all that physical and can't bully anyone, and you've got a fairly predictable way of playing going forward. And we could change the players there, I suppose. And I've basically just flip flopped on from one answer to the other there. I'm going to say it's both the both the system and the players. So there we go.
As Oscar Wilde once said, it's the mark of a gentleman to hold two contrary opinions at the same time. But you look at Leicester now. We took Vardy and Mahrez were missing for four or five games, and they didn't score. Didn't score a goal. Isn't true. So you know, Bolasie. It turns out Bolasie is a much more important part of the team than
He's not here.
We possibly thought he was. Yeah, but just in terms of his defensive work as well, which is clearly something we're very much missing. And also that he brought us that physicality that perhaps we haven't got in other parts of the pitch, because he's without doubt the physically the strongest player we've got, and can take two or three defenders out of the game.
People are scared of him. Defenders, other teams are generally scared of him. I'm not sure we have anyone else in the final six that is like that.
No.
Okay, right. Let's wrap up part one there. In part two, we've got questions from our listeners, so join us in a bit. Yes, welcome back to the 5-year plan podcast.
We've all calmed down a little bit.
Yeah, we're about to get loads of questions from our listeners, so I'm sure that will rile us up again. They probably won't. Pod 166, sponsored by JCIS, the global research and brand consultancy from South London. Visit jc-is.com.
I will.
Thanks.
I'm
just trying to get them a little thing. Like
that's good though. That could become their thing.
Yeah, I'm trying to like it. I like it. I didn't want to explain to you why
sorry.
I was doing
okay,
it, but now I'm doing
it. We'll carry on.
Okay,
okay. And Vector printing for all your printing embroidery needs. Go to vector.co.uk and there's Vector with
her. I will.
And you can win an exclusive FYP. And
I will.
Shut up. Or Vector with a K t-shirt. We're giving away two of these brand new t-shirts by tweeting I love at FYP fanzine and at Vector .. with a K. Send that tweet out. We will see it and we will pick two winners from there. Of course, if you just want to buy the t-shirt and outright, you can go to T-Shirt Monster, but that's Monster without an E.
Monster without an E.
Yeah. T-shirtmonster.com/FYP.
How are we deciding who wins the...
It'd just be random. So we'll get all the people that do the tweets, and then we'll just randomly choose.
How?
I don't know. Put the names in a hat or something? I don't know.
All right, because people need to know in terms and conditions. You have
okay.
To that,
so. We're going to put the names in a hat.
Right. Okay
thank you. Right.
Yeah. Compliance need to know these things.
Yeah. Right. First question comes from Carl Mortimer.
Hi, Carl.
Hi, Carl.
And he says, injuries... Do you think it's Pardew's method as he had a lot of injuries at Newcastle, and Pulis never had many, if at all.
What do you mean? Is it his method, i.e. is he purposefully making people get injured? Or is it,
or is
it
training, his training methods
lead to injuries?
Yeah. I mean, make of that what you will.
Well, it's a bit ambiguous, isn't it?
That's an interesting question, though.
Just loads of people are speculating, oh, maybe it's the new Dezo pitch.
Yeah.
That's not an Irish name, but there's another thing in there.
I thought it was a new jazz album.
Would be a very good but jazz album.
We've seen it with Liverpool, Arsenal as well. Arsenal tend to get more than a fair share of injuries. Liverpool, arguably Klopp's gone too physical with his own players. But I don't think there's really a pattern. I mean, apart from Schumacher, whose hamstring seems to keep going, there's not really... I think the answer's probably nothing to do with Pardew, because there's not really a pattern in the injuries. It's not... If three or four players were out with a similar injury, then you might say... Yes, there is something wrong with the training methods, but I think we're just...
I just think it's unlucky. It's just unlucky, and it's just that part of the season, isn't it?
Also, slightly ageing squad compared to squads in the past, maybe more prone to...
Very good question, though.
It is a good question.
I'm sure if we looked at the stats, we'd be proved wrong.
I wasn't aware that Newcastle... It'd be interesting to look back at Newcastle and see...
Yeah, they were there was speculation at the time that that was down to their sort of training facility.
That's right,
I've got no idea if that's... Or not, because it was said by lots of Newcastle fans.
And it is very cold in the North East, isn't it?
It is pretty cold in the North East.
Okay, next question is from Rob Wall.
Hi, Rob.
He says, does Andy want to start a punk rock band with me called Aggression to be Mean?
Best question ever.
I think I'm a bit old to be in a punk rock band, but why not?
It's more of a pun on your constant mantra about regressing to the mean.
Yeah, which we haven't actually mentioned once on this podcast yet.
Because we said we'd hit him if he did, that's why.
That's a fair point.
No, I'm not allowed to say the JM thing anymore. What's Jerry Murphy. I'm not, We've all agreed not to. Oh,
yeah. Well, there you go, you said that. I can say regressing to the mean.
Can you play an instrument?
Loads.
You don't need to if you're in a punk rock band.
Yeah, yeah, fair
that's
point.
The whole point.
Fair point.
Ender's nearly made a career out of it.
They weren't punk, were they? Loopful, were they?
No, they were shoegaze.
No, shut up, we were not shoegaze. I hate that term, shoegaze.
It's
derogatory.
He can't see his shoes.
Oh, I could 25 years ago. That's a joke. Well, I was wearing winkle pickers.
Don't know what they are. What's wrong with shoegaze?
They're a shoe. They're a
it's
very long
It's a stupid,
shoe,
pointless no. home counties form of music. Rubbish.
Quite like
that. Hands on a postcard, please.
That's my fishing done for today.
Right. So what sort of music was
it? Can we move on,
sorry,
please?
Sorry, I'm just interested.
Move on? Yeah, because you haven't got the next question ready. Just move on.
It's ready. Okay. Next one's from Mike O'Donnell.
Hi, Mike.
He says, though as an American, I am enjoying the new Behind the Badge series, in this behind-the-scenes documentary thing on NBC.
I've not seen it.
I've seen episode one. It's very good.
Behind the Badge?
Yeah. Behind the Badge.
Awesome.
We haven't won a league match since NBC started filming us. I don't really believe in curses and the like, but do you think it's impacted us negatively?
Yeah,
or
I
is
believe,
it just a coincidence?
I believe in curses.
I believe it's impacted us negatively. Yeah. I do, yeah. I think. Yeah.
And also, since the American money came in as well, it's all gone a bit.
That's true.
A bit pear-shaped, isn't it?
Has a bit.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's...
I blame the quarterback.
It's nothing to do with it's if there were curses, we'd be able to locate the source and have them kicked out of the ground. Mm-hmm. It's the same with good luck, isn't it? If we can find the person who's
rooted
it. It's just we're just regressing to the mean, basically.
My work here is done. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
I found myself saying it with as well.
I'm an articulate, intelligent man, and I couldn't think of any other phrase. It's just driven out of my head. I found myself saying it the other day in an office.
Me
just
too.
Did you?
Regressing to the mean, and people looking at me going, what are you talking about?
Who are you? You're a lawyer or something.
Now you know what my life is like.
So, just salt and vinegar would be fine. Thank you. It'd be lovely. Yeah, well, he said I don't charge for people. Oh no, I do. Doesn't it?
I do.
You charge
people to
listen to me. Yeah, like he does. Yeah.
Okay.
Not as much as a lawyer, though, ironically.
Yeah. Weird.
You wait until all the listeners.
Very good question, though.
That's a good question.
Is it Richard II when all the lawyers are strung up in the guts of all the in the world of beer?
Well, was it only Elizabeth II?
No, Richard II. No, the Queen ones.
Right. Anyway, moving on. Moving on to next question.
I'll check that in the break.
Next question is from Paul.
Hi, Paul.
Paul at the Wild Sea.
It's nice to hear that we've got American listeners, by the way.
We have a lot of listeners from around the world. Yeah. We've got absolutely loads. If you can go on SoundCloud and see the stats where they listen to. We got some.
Okay, I'll
some,
do that later.
You do that. We've got I'll some very far-reaching.
Just as you
listeners.
Won't go to JCR.
I will.
I will. I like that. As a,
I know. I will.
Right, Paul says.
Hi, Paul.
Sorry, hi, Paul. Has any side in any division ever been mid to top half of a table this far into the league when none of the strikers have scored?
I think that's a good question, but we have discussed this before because it's kind of... Bless you.
Oh, dear.
Sorry.
That's my cat that's bigger sneezes than that. it's hard to... I think... How do you describe Wilf and Yannick, then, if not as strikers? It's kind of... I think it's a slight misnomer, this.
I guess in like the traditional sense of they were signed to be strikers. But you're right, the way we play is quite fluid, isn't it?
I mean, for the last two seasons, virtually every club in the Premier League, apart from Watford, has only had one striker anyway. So most clubs are only looking at 8 or 9 goals being scored by their strikers. So I think it's a slight misnomer. We're not scoring enough goals full stop as a team. It doesn't matter whether or not it's a striker scoring them or... Yeah, because there are a lot of clubs where the main striker doesn't score many goals, but the midfield players and the wide players chip in, so we're just not... But it's a good question, because if you look at our... And it's a shame, because our goal difference has gone south as well, but it is a good question, because you look at the amount of goals. But we're still not the lowest scorers in the league, though,
Are we not?
No, not at all.
I mean, I've got no idea.
We were the lowest scorers in the top 6, top 8, whatever, but we're not.
It's got to be Villa, surely.
Yeah, there's other clubs who have scored... As few or fewer goals than we
Sunderland, probably.
Sunderland, yeah.
So. It does make you think sort of both...
What could have happened if we did have a striker.
Exactly. Yeah, so one, wow, we're doing really well to be doing that. Yeah, but also, like you say, if we did have a striker, maybe we could really be...
Well, we'd have got one goal, then the gates would have been open.
Yeah, but I'd see you don't... For a start, we didn't expect Wickham to be out for quite as long as he was at the start.
Yeah.
So you don't know what would have happened if presumably the system would have been slightly different. We all thought Bamford wasn't... a bad shout that he would possibly weigh in with some goals. So, I mean, it was impossible to predict that this would happen. And it's not necessarily the style of play that's causing it, but that's a good question.
Yeah,
fair. Also, only Villa out of the bottom five have scored fewer than us.
Really?
Yeah. Really? Sunderland have scored more.
Have they?
Newcastle have. Norwich have. Bournemouth have.
Right.
Well, good start.
Yeah.
Not very good start.
Well, I'm just basically reading the league table out from my phone.
It's a good start, though.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to crack on, I've got quite a lot of questions to get through.
Okay, that's fine.
James Duffwhistle.
Hi, James.
Says, is our massive dip in form due to your changing in theme tune music?
No, what do you reckon it's down to?
Yeah.
When did you do that?
I don't even know.
About mid-December.
Why did you do that?
What, you have theme music?
We just felt like changing it up.
Why?
Because
we were fifth in the table.
No, we were around there. Yeah.
We got Americans asking us where the curse is coming from, and the answer's sitting right across from the table. Wrong. You nonce, why did you do that? So what are you thinking of?
He wrote it.
It's not even a proper song.
You wrote it.
I didn't write it. I just made it off Apple Loops.
What? So you committed a crime?
Whatever
it was.
I'm not sure I can make 167.
Change it back.
Shall we change it back?
Change it back.
Do it. Change it back.
Change it back for the love of God.
Change it back, yeah.
Okay, we'll change it back. For this one only.
Immediately after the Bournemouth and Swansea results, you should have known something was going wrong.
Mother
of God, kids.
Change it back after for the next... Oh, no, because we've got a league game, haven't we?
What do they teach you at schools about luck and superstition?
Should we change it back for this podcast?
Yeah, all right. Change it. Okay. So if you're listening to this and you've heard the old theme tune,
this is why. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it's phew, got that sorted out.
I would love it if we turned it back and Palace got on a fantastic run.
Yeah,
that'd be incredible. Yeah.
We will do.
We'd all love it. And then it'd be your fault, you posh idiot.
Yeah.
Jesus, what? You can't go willingly changing stuff like that.
Well, you have to refresh the brand.
Refresh the brand.
Sorry, I instantly regretted that.
It's like going the wrong way out of the pub, going out of a different door from the pub on match day. What would you do that for? If you've lost 10 games in a row, you don't go out of a different door on match day.
Oh, you don't.
What if one door's like shut? Or like locked?
Well, you stay in the pub then, don't you?
Okay.
As a matter of principle, you stay there until either it opens or it's... You die of starvation.
Okay.
You don't do. It's like turning right out the bunny hole. You don't do that. You don't change theme tunes after through a season when we're doing really well.
All right, we will change it. We'll change it back.
Right, thank you. We got that sorted.
You go to public school. Christ, he's unemployed.
I didn't go to public school.
Would you be going on really well? He'd start.
You'd be employed, but that's it.
You can have different sandwiches.
You can't. Right. Not if you're fifth in the Premier League. You have the same food until the season over.
Right. Okay, we're going to change the theme tune back. Right, next question.
Christ.
It's from...
Bad enough. Open the door. He's standing there like a whippet, shivering in the... till it's freezing cold. Oh, Christ. 8 stone. Superstition, luck-changing idiot.
It's like a sweary South London James Joyce stream of consciousness right now.
Right. Next question is from Simon Allen.
Hi Simon.
He says, do you think our lack of goals is due to missing a number 10 as opposed to somebody up top?
No, it's due to some fuck which having a future.
I think we've ascertained that quite clearly.
Right, okay, I'm going to find some other questions unrelated to Palace's form. Okay, Matt Phillips.
Sorry, Simon.
It's a good question.
Read a question and we'll answer it properly. Come on.
Okay. Well, I have to go back and find the question again. Do you think our lack of goals is due to missing a number 10 as opposed to someone up top?
I think it's a really good question, that. I think there's not a natural number 10 in that squad.
Jason Buncham.
I'm not sure he's a natural number 10, frankly. He played there well for 6 months, but he's not played as a number 10 throughout his entire career. And arguably, he did have, in his early Palace days under Pulis, did have some very good form out on the wing then. Mm. Everyone seemed to sort of reimagine him as this sort of dynamic number 10, partially because he played that role a little bit under Pardew last season, was pretty good in it, and because he started this season there, and there was the whole sort of three of him with Kabay and MacArthur behind him that I think people quite like the idea of. But I'm not entirely sure that he is an actual number 10, and certainly whether you want to make that argument one way or the other, we've now got no one to play in that position in his absence anyway. Now he's had to shift out wide and to sort of fulfil that role pretty well. So I think it is a big problem, actually, and it's something we've spoken about sort of in previous weeks.
But I'd be interested to see, if you look at the Pulis season, I'd be interested to see where our goals came from, because Pulis played in a particular style. We got the ball forward as quickly as possible, mainly in order to try and win free kicks and score from there. But I just off the top of my head, I'd imagine we probably scored as few goals from a recognised striker under Pulis.
Yeah,
and we expected. I think Pardew hinted all the way through the close season that we would be playing a more attractive game. And the fact is, we can talk about strikers for as long as we want, but the midfield, they've got to be creative from somewhere. We've had a midfield that's pretty much bypassed under first Holloway and then Pulis, in that the midfield spent a lot of time watching the ball going over their heads and scrapping for the second ball. The midfielder got to take responsibility for creativity. The fact is that two of the midfielders are playing so deep, and especially the one that we all hoped would not be playing as deep, Kabay. And the fact is that we simply haven't got a creative person in midfield at other... Because for all the talk of players like Kante and Diamant, for all the talk of big, strong, ball-winning midfield players, other clubs have got creative midfield players around them.
We just don't have that midfield.
We simply haven't got that.
Move forward, push it forward.
And the only time we did see that happening against Newcastle, it worked very well. But there again, you have to say it was against the poorest team in the Premier League at the time. Yeah. But, we get the ball wide too quickly, as far as I'm concerned. We need a Charlie Austin. We need somebody in that sort of player, somebody in midfield who can change it up, who can play a short ball or a long ball or hold the ball or change the tempo. We can't seem to dictate the tempo of the game, especially at home, and that's probably the key to the home form.
The second half of that Pulis season, Punchin scored eight goals in the second half of the season, something like that, from a central number 10 position. Yeah. So that's why I get frustrated with him, because I feel like he definitely can do it. And something's not going right somewhere where we're not maximising him and getting the best out of him.
Yeah, that's true. I think you're right.
He's one of the genuinely Premier League quality players we've got. Albeit, as Andy would say,
he's a real match winner.
Yeah, he can be.
But something's not quite happening. Okay, next question then is from Lee McBride.
Hi, Lee.
AKA Pete the Eagle. And he says, he's written pod question in capital letters because I never read out his question. So, here we go. Having watched the Burgess Hill Panto recently, sponsored by Vector.
Oh, the horse.
Oh. Well, they sponsored other people.
Stars of the Panto or Vector?
Oh,
Lee
no, they
says
weren't.
He watched his Panto the other day. If FYP was a Panto, who would play each of the traditional roles?
Oh, good. Well, in true theatrical style, as all the actors always say, I would, of course, give you my dick. That's what they always actors love that.
Oh, right, okay.
It's the same in Shakespeare. I gave my bottom in Shakespeare. I gave my dick in Dick Whittington. Yes, we know what you're talking about. You're implying that you got your penis out. Well done. I don't know. Endo, of course. That's a good question. Know. Yeah.
Probably
be widow twanky.
Yeah, I think Endo's have to be widow twanky.
I'd want to be a female, definitely.
You two would be babes in the wood, wouldn't you?
It'd be buttons with Jodie.
It'd be buttons.
I'd be a very good. I'd be
a really annoying button.
I'd be a very good button.
The first time you slapped your thigh, you'd fall over. You'd knock yourself out.
Not now. I'd start going down the gym, mate.
Oh yeah, you showed us your guns.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'll refer you back to my cat. Not only sneezes loud, he's got bigger biceps.
That's a good question.
Good question. Yeah.
I don't know any other characters, but
I don't really know which. Oh yes, you do.
Expert on Panto.
Good.
How many times have I got to just? There's no point, is there? No. There's no point.
Right. Fine. I'm going to try and squeeze in.
Panto's a rolling game. Okay.
Yeah. You could have Prince Charming. The wicked, the wicked witch, the ugly sisters.
Yeah.
Oh, and so you got enough characters there. So. Yeah.
Thanks.
Really topical as well.
But it's still Panto season.
Or in tribute to
who's your favourite Christmas character? Yeah.
It's still Panto season.
Still Panto season.
In tribute to your hosting style, you could be wishy washy.
Widow twanky.
He's probably never heard of Widow twanky. No, he doesn't. His social references are shocking, aren't they?
Well, they're appalling.
His cultural context just doesn't exist, which is why he's able to change a theme music halfway through with that.
Right. Matt Philip Harris.
Hi, Matt Philip Harris.
Says, if you could pick a Palace player to model the sexy new FYP t-shirts, who would it be and why?
Well, you know, I know who would look good on, but I'm not allowed to mention it.
is it Jerry Murphy?
Probably a bit big for him now. I think we should do what they do at the Player of the Year, do and pick two of the first team squad to look really, really embarrassed.
Yeah.
In a haze of dry ice, stand there with the new kit on. I don't know, who would you choose? Let's choose our top goal scorer. Own goals.
Well, Jan Vertonghen.
Is own goals our top goal scorer?
No.
It's Balassi, surely.
I think it's Kabay, isn't it?
I think it's Kabay with four.
Oh, yeah, with the penalty.
Oh,
he's got five.
Five, I think he's got five.
I'd pick Jules to model the T-shirt.
He's
really cold on the bench.
A bit bored at the moment, isn't he? So we'll get Jules there.
Well, speaking of Jules as well, because interesting that Pardew went out of his way to praise Hennessy after the Tottenham game, say he's back on form after two really bad games.
Yeah, he was okay. He was okay. Yeah. He made one good save from Rose, didn't he? That volley. But
he made a save because he's a goalkeeper. What else?
He was okay. He didn't make a blunder. Didn't make a mistake.
Well,
that's great, isn't it? Sorry.
Right.
No, to be fair,
it's a step.
Well done, Wayne. You didn't kick the ball in your own net.
That was supposed to be a positive.
It's a step in the right direction.
That was supposed to be a positive.
As opposed to the step in the wrong direction he normally makes before.
Very good. Very good.
Right, final few questions then.
Nutmegged himself.
I've got this image now that Kev just wakes up in the middle of the night going, footwork, regression to the mean, footwork. happy.
Mr. Stezza.
Hi, Mr. Stezza.
Says, if we'd start, this is more of a serious question. If we'd started the season poorly and gone on to a good run, as we have done in previous few seasons, to get where we are now, would the mood amongst the fans be different?
Do you know, I always, it's something I've always done since I was a kid, is every time, I've had more practice than you lot, but losing, but every time, so for example, when I look at the league table after the Tottenham game, I pretend that we've won to go on to 31 points, and it actually does...
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it.
When you do it like that, it does make you feel, because then you look at the table and you go... Actually, we're only a couple of points behind Man U, and we're ahead of Chelsea. Yeah. And so it's quite a good exercise sometimes to do that. I mean, the interesting thing is, as somebody pointed out the other day, purely out of sort of stirring it a little bit, that if this had been our start to the season, everybody would be saying, well, we need a new manager.
Yeah.
Because we know he's a good manager.
Yeah.
We don't. I do think one of the problems is this. I know people laugh at me and think it's not a conspiracy theory, but I do think... It's like when Coloccini talks about Newcastle being a bit too nice at the moment. And I think, because Pardew is keen to get the England job, I think a bit of the devil has gone out of our team a little bit.
A bit of the deli.
There's no real... Street, he talks about no one really being frightened. It's not necessarily because of the size of our players. It's just that we're quite an aggressive team. We're quite an antsy team.
Yeah.
And that seems to have gone a little bit. Seems to have gone away a little bit, because we have talked about us being bigger and fitter than in previous years, and I think there's a bit of niggle missing out of our game, a bit of an edge, albeit we are still getting too many yellow cards, and they're not always deserved, but and yeah, in a way that's why the Wickham thing was terrible and idiotic, but you do want to see a bit of
Yeah.
You want to see a bit of sticking up for yourself, which we haven't really...
Is that because we try to play, change the way we play? And when you're playing more defensively, it's a bit more easier, isn't it?
You keep asking me questions that I've got no actual way of knowing the answer to.
Otherwise, he'd be a football manager. Yeah.
I'm throwing theories out to you.
I don't know what the answer is, but it's probably just purely anecdotal. But to me, it just seems that we haven't got that little... what we knew about the Pulis team is that if we won nil up or one all, we would hold on to it by a hook or by a crook.
Whether
it was by time wasting or hurting somebody or doing what we had to do, and that seems to have gone out of that game.
Well, I think that
game management.
We're learning still to be a Premier League team.
We are
still learning. I mean, maybe at the beginning of the season we thought we'd come along leaps and bounds, which you know I think we have done. But I think now our real place in the Premiership is probably where we are now.
We've played three out of the top six games.
Yeah, I agree.
As we keep on saying, like the only really bad result in there was the Villa one. Yeah, it's not great that we're not scoring in those matches either. But we've got a far more comfortable run coming up with some winnable games there. And to see people talking about potential relegation when we've got 30 points at this stage of the season, it's just ludicrous.
We're still 11 points ahead of where we were this time.
Yeah. The Villa game also is probably the only really bad performance and horrible day of the season.
Yes.
Really, isn't it?
As I said right at the top, I do think we'll be sitting here in April, May going, what was that about? Yeah.
But then we need stuff to talk about, don't we?
At the moment, it does feel... It doesn't feel like a blip. It feels like there's something a bit wrong at the moment.
Put it this way, I'm looking forward to Europe next season. Put it that way.
The Euros.
I'm looking forward to Europe.
Bold. Okay. Well, speaking of Europe,
I like that sort of music.
Speaking of not Europe, but
Final Countdown, could change.
Final question then.
You must know that song.
No, I have. I'm trying to wrap it up. Final question is from Martin.
Hi, Martin.
He says, today, what day is it? Monday, is...
Why are you looking at your watch?
Because I've got my... It tells you what day of the week it is.
Oh, very clever watch. Well, see, just in case you forget. Is that serious? In case you forget what day it is?
No, but I didn't. In that moment, I wasn't sure what. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
I didn't know cereal packets still gave watches.
Off eBay for 10 quid.
When you don't do anything all day, it's kind of easy to lose track.
Actually very true.
That's why he doesn't.
You know, every day's like a Saturday to JD, so he has to know whether it's actual Saturday or fake Saturday or third fake Saturday of the week Saturday.
It's like the answer to that old question, why does an actor not look out the window in the morning? So he's got something to look forward to in the afternoon.
I understand that. Today, Martin says, is Australia Day.
Oh, that's Australia.
Good day.
Which part...
What about with time difference? Is it now yesterday?
Oh, shut up.
Tomorrow.
Which doesn't matter.
Yeah, it will be now.
Yeah, no, that was why I didn't... I
so looked,
I ruined it. And I ruined everything. Yeah. We're going to gloss over that. Today is Australia Day. Which past or present Palace Aussie should be Australian of the Year? And why?
Well, I mean, Jedinak's by far the best Australian player we've ever...
Nicky Rizzo, Nicky Cole.
My least favourite Palace player was Australian, which is Kevin Muscat.
Kevin Rugrat.
Yeah,
I couldn't abide.
He didn't have a lot of fans, I don't think, at Palace.
Well, he's one of those rare players who did seem to enjoy. Actually, went out to hurt people.
Really?
Whereas Mark Dennis, who really hurt people, I genuinely liked. Yeah, Muscat was something, but.
It's got to be Jedi, really.
It's got to be Jedi. It would have been
Tim Cahill if Jordan hadn't cocked up that transfer so badly.
Well, maybe we could get in a time machine to bring him back to
maybe,
Palace.
Maybe we'll do that in the next part.
Yeah, but Jedi certainly is...
It's got to be a Jedi, mate.
And also, he represents all those Australian values that they probably talk about.
Well, like facial hair.
Well, he's upright, honest, straightforward, fair go, all that sort of stuff.
Well, it's official. Jedi is Australian of the Year, so congrats to him.
Well done, Jed.
And well done to Australia as well.
Yeah.
For having a day. Well done.
Even though it's tomorrow or yesterday
or whatever.
Well, we've probably got quite a few Australian listeners, so happy Australia Day to you.
Happy Australia Day. I hope you had a good day off.
Have a good one.
On the beach.
Yeah.
Right, that is the end of part 2. Thank you for your questions. In part 3, we're going to go back in time for In This Week.
Ooh.
So join us in a bit.
Yeah.
back to the 5-year plan podcast. Pod 166, sponsored by JCIS.
I will.
God's sake.
Keep that in, that's funny.
Yeah, we'll keep it in, we'll keep it in. We're going to keep rolling. Sponsored by JCIS, the Global Research and Brand Consultancy. From South London, visit jc-is.com.
I will.
Good. I've never seen Street, he looks so happy. He's just so good.
Right, and
the joke that we've laughed at.
Doesn't he look like the little Nazi boy from Sound of Music? You're right. Like the little post boy.
That was the look I was going for.
Tin drum, you know, move the tin drum. That's what he looks like.
He won't.
And
oh, he did.
We're also sponsored by Vector Printing. For all your print and embroidery needs, go to vector.co.uk. That's Vector with a
K.
Also, go to T-shirt Monster.
Looks a bit, that brilliant Brendan Gleeson film, The Guard, he looks a bit like this
simple
little peasant boy in that as well.
But he's not simple, he's not in any way, shape, or form.
Simple. Right. Anyway, go to tshirtmonster.com/FYP to buy one of the cool new FYP T-shirts. Right, it's in this week. We're going back in time. And the first time I'm going back
going
to...
back in time to December and changing the theme tune.
are we going back any time in the last 8 years?
Are we going back to March this week, since we did February last week?
Yeah, can we get the month right?
That was my fault last week.
Whoa, did you hear that?
Yeah, okay, an apology.
He used the words, it was my fault. I've never heard
It was combined fault. Combined mine and Rob's fault.
He's crawling it back now.
Rob should have noticed. But I did send him the wrong pictures. But we are going back. So January.
Not the first time.
January the 24th, which is actually not in this week, but I'm going to go back to it anyway. January 24th. It's quite a memorable one. Not for particularly good reasons, unfortunately. Palace played.
What year?
2001.
Thank you.
Oh, right, okay, thank you.
Into administration.
Palace, no. Oh. Well, we were in administration.
We'd come out of it.
2001, yeah, come out of it.
Did we lose to Liverpool 5-0?
Yeah.
I thought we'd already done that one.
Have we?
In the League Cup?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've done that.
We did that last week.
You can't have done because...
No, we did it the week before last when you went ahead of yourself.
We did the first leg.
Yeah.
We did the first leg, so yeah.
Then we were all excited between that week and this week because we thought we were going to go through again.
Yeah.
And now we've realised that, we lost 5-0.
Last week we jumped ahead to February, so we knew because we were looking back on something that we travelled forward to and then looked back on. So
this is getting very confusing.
Yeah.
So anyway, Palace lost 5-0. It was.
Thanks for reminding us of that, JD. Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah.
It was a weird one because we had. No, it was a weird one because we were
first leg. We played very well.
First leg played very well, but also their cup run sort of masked by January that our league form really started to tumble. And of course, we ended up in that game at Stockport, where Friedman scored in the last minute.
But the League Cup run, I think, had given us a little bit of a kick in the league, hadn't it? We had a tiny bit of a bump up. And then it fell off a cliff after we went out at the end of January. And then we went from sort of bad to worse, didn't we? Ultimately culminating, as you say, I don't know if you said it or not, because I really wasn't listening to all that properly, but culminating in that game with the throwing season tickets against Wolves.
Yeah. The last time
going. Alan Smith, what a great...
When Kolinko palmed the cross that was going over his crossbar into the goal.
Yeah.
Under no pressure from anyone.
Alan Smith, who was Gareth Southgate's manager for a long time. Possibly still is, actually.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Interesting.
He follows us on Twitter. He tweets FYP now and then on Twitter. Alan Smith.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
He was a great coach. I mean, we played some really good football under him until we got relegated.
Almost.
He was a good coach. He had a really good reputation. He's got some great stories about Simon Jordan as well. I'll see if he'll treat a couple of those in.
We will. It's not for the podcast. Let's move on to another day. 26th of January, 1981.
Ooh,
this might have Jerry Murphy. Might have Jerry Murphy.
The new owner of Crystal Palace, certain
Ron Knowles,
correct, turned up to meet his staff. Any idea what he did? For his first port of call to do was
gave him a pay cut.
No, it doesn't say that. Possibly, but doesn't say that.
Sacked half of them.
You're nearly there.
Terry Byfield he was the only one who had a job.
Possibly. Was Terry working there?
Terry's been there 24 years now.
So 91.
Yeah,
I assume he was just part of the fixtures and fittings, and you get him when you buy the club.
He does. He sleeps upside down in the club shop.
He's like a chandelier.
That was a big debate with the Americans when they put their money in.
What did Rod Knowles do? What was the first thing he did when he met his new staff?
Well, he would have turned up in his light blue Rolls Royce.
Street was very close a minute ago.
So did he sack people?
He sacked someone in particular.
Oh, the manager.
Who was?
Mal Kamalison.
Now Kamalison, correct.
Yeah, yeah.
And then made the single-handedly worst mistake any Palace club owners ever. For a simple, because he didn't have Google in those days, so he couldn't Google. he couldn't Google Alan Mullery.
Yeah,
and he just wondered why. I've been to football. Why are they booing their own manager onto the pitch? This is the worst. It's still a completely incomprehensible decision. I'm still as cross about that as I'm about that.
About
changing the.
Yeah.
But getting Alan Mullery, he clearly hadn't bothered to ask anybody
about
the new managers.
Yeah,
basically. Because he got rid of Alisson hadn't done it. Alisson should never have come back. But
Alisson was in charge for 55 days.
Yeah.
That second one. Right. Wednesday, the 27th of January, 1999.
Ooh.
Chairman Mark Goldberg and managing...
I've forgotten him.
This is going from bad to worse, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay. Goldberg and Phil Alexander went to a meeting of the Palace Independent Supporters Association, PISA, in Croydon, to face questions.
They were bent, weren't they?
Yeah, PISA.
Were they?
Yeah, leaning tower of PISA.
Can we...
Benting. I thought you were about to get us sued.
So I'm sitting next to him, so I was aware that he was looking for a pizza joke.
Okay, good.
He couldn't find a pizza joke.
Just to confirm, listeners, that was a pizza joke and we weren't being litigious. They went to a meeting in Croydon to face questions from the fans, increasingly concerned at the perilous financial position of the club. Goldberg promised supporters he will clear Palace's £4 million debt by May.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that didn't happen.
No, it won't.
Was it him who turned up with the security, or was it Jordan at his first?
No, I think it was Goldberg.
Was that Goldberg?
Oh, okay. Goldberg.
Yeah. And he brought Mullins and Morrison on the stage with him. I knew that one, the subsequent one.
But he also pointed out that the big guy at the back was some bloke who ran a local firm. Was that Jordan?
I think that was Jordan.
Was that Jordan?
Goldberg
was just... I met him recently at Palace Zoo. He's just a lovable idiot, basically. I
mean, he's an okay guy.
He did what we'd have all done.
Fit him well on this pod, really.
He basically did what we would have all done if we had a lot of money and we found ourselves in charge of Palace. He just got outwitted by Terry Venables, basically. And his big, solid gold wheelbarrow.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, the Hillsborough game in 2010, where obviously we drew 2-2 and stayed up? Street and I were there with a few friends, and we walked out, and Goldberg was right outside the away end, and everyone was quite jubilant, and we all sort of did a big group hug with him in the middle, Goldberg in the middle, all us on the outside, and then we all came away from the hug and we were like, that feels weird. Why have we just hugged Goldberg?
He made a speech at this Palace here, and he's very honest about being an idiot. He doesn't try and pretend he was anything other than somebody who was, because apparently he's a legend in his temporary recruitment or whatever it was, his background, and he did make a lot of money, but he freely admits that didn't equip him to manage or own a football club. But he just thought he was doing the right thing and saving Palace, and
much like the owner after him.
Yeah, exactly. But he's a nice, except he's quite a nice bloke.
Yeah,
Goldberg,
and now manager at Bromley.
They've done a spectacular fall from grace. They started off really well. Well, he made himself manager because he took over the club and then.
All right. So is he still chairman and manager?
As far as I know, yeah, he's still sort of.
That's exactly what Ron Knowles did the same thing at Brentford, was it?
Well, and Ron Knowles was manager at Palace during that crazy Premier League season when Lombardo became manager. Knowles was manager for one or two games.
Was he?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
There was a clip of Lombardo on, was it on Football Focus on Saturday?
Really?
Yeah, they were talking about the new Italian manager for Swansea.
Oh, Swansea, yeah.
And then they showed a clip of all the... It may have been Match of the Day, or maybe it was Football Focus, and they showed a clip of all the previous... I think he's the ninth Italian manager to grace the Premier League.
Oh, wow.
And then they showed Lombardo being interviewed, and he said... I forgot the question was. It was very funny. He said something like, "Is this the worst situation you've ever been in your career?" Yes.
Well, do you know what?
Fair enough.
Something like that.
That was the one thing that Goldberg got cross about, and somebody asked him what he thought was an idiot question. So it might be me, but he said this rumor that Lombardo and Brolin couldn't speak English was rubbish. He said,
"Oh really?"
He said Brolin couldn't speak. He said Lombardo could, but just chose not to.
Oh really?
So I was somebody went, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, he could speak something." He was like, "So he went, I'm not an idiot. I wouldn't put somebody in charge." I don't know if he really proved you wrong.
Okay, right. Final.
His feet did the talking, didn't they?
Oh, they did. Didn't they just?
Brolin couldn't speak English.
Apparently not. because that was the thing at the time. We had a manager, he was the translator. Assistant manager who couldn't.
I think he did it selling vacuum cleaners, though.
And then high heel shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah, for transvestites mainly. It was his main market. Yeah.
Really?
Yes, he marketed a special type of high heel shoe that men could wear.
Fantastic.
Makes you proud to be a publisher. That's
amazing.
They are comfortable.
I did not
they're
know
very,
that.
Very comfortable.
They are very comfortable. You and I find it hard to get a high heel in our size, don't we?
Right.
Absolutely, yeah. And they're very comfortable.
Final update then. Update? Final memory, or whatever you want to call it. It's from 28th of January 2000.
Ooh.
Who did Palace sell for £600,000 to Charlton?
Matt Svensson.
Yeah, you read that over my shoulder.
I didn't notice that.
Matt Svensson. Oh. Do you remember him?
See you later, Matt. No, I don't.
Swedish striker.
Was he Swedish, really, with a name like Svensson? It surprised me.
Yeah. Did you ever... Aren't you interviewing Matt Janssen?
Possibly.
Oh, yeah. Dreamy.
Possibly.
Dreamy.
Yeah. Yes. Possibly.
Once we can get the court order overturned, yeah. You've got to have that sorted out first. Matt Svensson was a very good striker.
I don't remember.
Did we sign him from Norwich? I'm going to say that we did.
I think we did, yes.
I think we signed him from somewhere random, and then he went to Charlton and then went to Norwich.
He went to Norwich eventually and then knocked him out in English football for a little while. Yeah. And he was pretty good. Good in the air.
Yeah, he was good.
A few guys for Palace.
Yep.
Don't remember. You don't remember him. Okay.
No, it's funny how some generations has passed you by, isn't it?
Right, that's it for going back in time this week.
I'm off. I don't know where I am right now.
Are we back? We're going to come back into the present for part four, where we look for. Well, we're going to go to the future because we're going to look forward.
We're going back to the future.
We're going back to the future. Very good.
I've got a good idea for a film.
Yeah. Okay. You hang on to that. We've got two games. Oh God! Just join us in part four. Welcome back to the 5-Year Plan Podcast.
Hooray.
Sponsored by JCIS, the global research and brand consultancy from South London. Visit jci-is.com.
I will!
And Vector Printing for your print and embroidery needs. Go to vector.co.uk and that's Vector with a
K.
And you can win one of two exclusive FYP t-shirts by simply tweeting the following: I love at FYP fanzine and at Vector .. with a K. I'll make sure you follow FYP and Vector. If you're not following FYP yet, then what are you doing? Follow both FYP and Vector, tweet that, and you're going to draw to win one of our cool t-shirts. You can also check out the t-shirts on t-shirtmonster.com/FYP. Right, we got two. All right, we got two games to get through before next pod.
Ooh.
Because we've got Stoke at home in the FA Cup fourth round on Saturday, and then a very big game at home to Bournemouth on Tuesday night. We've got a question that I've saved from part two to chuck in now from Michael Cavendish.
Hi, Michael.
He says, should Pardew throw everything in the dressing room at Stoke and lock down an FA Cup win in the face of a midweek league game after? So what would you rather see?
I think that's a very interesting question. I think the attitude to the cup game has changed somewhat. I think if we were still fifth and we'd won a couple of the last three games, we'd probably say, yeah, let's win the FA Cup, let's go for it. I suspect with the game against Bournemouth coming up, the FA Cup might be on the back burner a little bit more.
I would say play your strongest team against Stoke and your strongest team against...
I think Pardew will do. I mean, he's talked in the past about momentum. Well, he's talked about momentum, but I think Pardew...
Because he really showed about momentum when we beat Southampton, didn't
he? Yeah. Well, yeah. I think Pardew will do. But I think in an ideal world, a new striker will be making his debut against Stoke.
Yeah.
And then getting himself fit enough to start against Bournemouth. I still suspect that won't happen. But I think the FA Cup is a tournament that's there for a club like Palace to have a decent go at, but with the caveat that I won't be that fussed if we go out of it. But the five league games following are much more important.
The Bournemouth game has become quite a big game, hasn't it? Really, as a result,
more so than you would like it.
Exactly.
In a funny sort of way, I kind of think the way Bournemouth play away from home, they will be one of the few teams that play into our hands because they will leave space behind for us to
as long as we attack, we go direct and go attacking as soon as possible and try and get that first goal, because Palace's record, I know on Saturday, didn't.
Yeah, but
normally it's quite good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Striker wise, then, obviously, there'll probably be no Wickham, I'd imagine. Oh,
Wicker man's gone, man.
Wicker's gone.
The Wicker man's gone. He's burnt. He's burnt, man.
Solid gone.
Marouane Chamakh had a very good performance for the under 21s today. They drew 3-3 against someone.
That must have looked very odd, that game.
Really odd, that, wasn't it?
He played and played very well, apparently. If his hamstrings are up to it, would you stick him up top on Saturday?
But his hamstrings aren't up to it, though, are they?
That's not the problem. And the best win in the world is this huge gulf between. You'd expect him to play well in the under-21s.
It was against Millwall, for God's sake. Yeah, I could play well in the under-21s.
Yeah, there's a huge gulf between that. I mean, it's for his fitness. Look, Chamakh's an international class Premier League player, or he was, and if he's fit and available, towards the end of last season, he was playing. Mm-hmm. He was playing really, really well, and even in the game that he got injured, his injury came about because he was on a run where he was driving at the heart of Swansea's defence, and in fact, he was playing in a slightly more dynamic style towards the end of last season. Mm. He was more direct, but he wasn't just playing with his back to goal. And I don't think if in the absence of any other. Yes, you'd play him, but then the fact is you've got to get players have got to get closer to him. That's the trouble. You can't expect him to hold the ball up for a minute while everyone trundles.
I was thinking the same thing about Wickham on Saturday because I think he played well, but there was times when the ball got up to him and he was quite isolated and there wasn't a lot of support at times.
But we saw that a lot with Murray. But the fact is, what Murray was brilliant at was getting free kicks. Mm-hmm. Murray was a proper old-fashioned centre-forward who could play facing both ways, and the amount of free kicks Murray got, because he would simply... I don't think Wickham's got that now yet. I think he will do, because he's only a kid, really, but he's got the physique for it, and I think he will be a very good player, but he hasn't got that sort of guile that Murray had. Again, we talked about a bit of nastiness and a bit of... Murray had that...
Wickham did show a bit of nastiness.
Yeah, he did, but Murray showed it in the right places. Yeah. You know what I mean? Murray got his foot in, and he got his... You know, and that's... You do still need that in football. It's still a physical game. You need to protect yourself and defend yourself.
Chamakh has got that goal.
And I think what will happen with Chamakh is even if the players don't get up to support him, he will buy a bit of time and he will get you free kicks in and around the box, because at the moment our best chance of scoring goals is from, as we saw when we hit the bar twice.
With Wickham, I know this isn't particularly helpful right now, but do you think Wickham might be someone like Murray who might sort of flourish later in his career?
I think Wickham... Clearly, Pardew, from what I gather, Pardew really rates Wickham, really rates him, and went out on a limb and persuaded Parrish that we wanted to spend that much money on him. And I think Wickham will be a really good player, but I think you have to remember he's still only 22.
Which, in
Premier League terms, is young. I mean, Vardy's much older than that. Vardy's been around much longer. Yeah. I think Wickham is a player that we should keep for the future, but he's not the answer to the short-term goal problem, and nor will Chamakh be.
Because
even when Chamakh's been playing well for us, he's not...
Yeah.
He's never really been that.
The last cup game, I actually thought Fraser Campbell had quite a good game at Southampton.
Yeah.
And he's not the answer, but...
He's going to have to be for the next few games.
Actually thought he played okay.
I'm sure he'll be playing on Saturday.
But we'll have to change the way we play then, because... He's a completely different player I still think, why not? When Wickham's fit or Chamakh's fit, I'll play 4-4-2, give it a go, give something else a try, because at the moment what's happening isn't working.
I agree.
You know. Mm.
And we did that against Newcastle, sort of,
and Watford have shown that it can work, and a couple of other teams are experimenting with it.
Yeah.
Even if it's 4-4-1-1 or whatever you want to call it, just try that combination of somebody can win the ball in the air and somebody fast off him. It's like, and then that'll really upset Dwight Gayle, because he'll say, well, I didn't do that with me.
But I do agree. And as we hinted in the first part of the podcast, I do wonder that if part of it is down to the fact that the system isn't quite right at the moment for the way we play. So
we've also found out the answer to the Johnny Williams question, which we asked last week and the week
he's
before.
He's gone to MK Dons.
So yeah. Pardew clearly
didn't like him.
Wasn't giving him
on an emergency loan.
Is that what it is?
Is that what it is?
Which is a bit of a farce.
An emergency loan. What, for us or them?
It's how much he hates him.
Because you're supposed to, in normal circumstances, only be able to play for two teams in a season.
You are.
But the Football League's got some sort of special exemption, which means that it's an emergency loan, even though it's a lot like every other form of loan. They're making it during the transfer window for 3 months.
You have to prove a certain percentage of your squad has to be certified injured.
We get an emergency loan.
You have to approve that you couldn't you need to have been turned down by five. There's odd rules, but there are. And normally,
the of course, there are odd rules.
But normally, the Football League only apply them normally for goalkeepers and central defenders, like positions that are. You wouldn't deny a team a goalkeeper, for example.
It depends how
desperate you are to score.
But for a midfield player, I'm amazed they've allowed it to happen. But it proves because we, well, possibly only me, was said he's another option. But clearly, Pardew
not anymore.
No. Okay.
And what a great! He's going to be one of the big unanswered questions, Johnny Williams, because he was.
I think so.
Forever.
Because he looked like he was going to be a really. Yeah. Really, really good footballer.
I can't really see him getting a run in Palace.
No.
I can't see him playing for a Premier League team unless he plays for a Championship team that get promoted. It's hard.
Yeah, I think we're all having to come to terms with the fact that it's probably not going to work out.
Was he still getting in the Welsh squad?
Yeah, I think so.
Was he?
Yeah. The squad. I don't know if he's playing, but getting in the squad, yeah. Oh, well. Well, that's not a particularly positive note to end the podcast on.
Let's not then.
Let's not end it on that.
Okay, predictions then for the two games.
I think I'm going to go for a low score in winning both.
I'll take that.
I think. Well, no point you saying I'll take that because it's not actually me deciding.
Okay,
it doesn't work like that. All right, it's down to you.
I think the FA Cup game will be a score draw, and I think we will beat Bournemouth.
I'll be interested to see what happens with this crowd. Against Stoke as well.
Cheap tickets.
I know they're doing cheap tickets,
which is good. Thank you, club, for cheap tickets.
Yeah, very good. That is good, but I also think it's a reflection of the fact that they know a lot of people
may not bother.
Mm-hmm. Cause it's not a particularly,
probably save themselves my birthday party in the evening.
Because it's not a particularly attractive tie, is it?
For under 18s is great.
No, it is good. No, it's really good. It's very good. And they should be congratulated for it. But
yeah. Well, do go down, Palace fans.
I've bought my tickets today, actually, online.
Well done.
Oh, tell me where you are, so I'll sit next to you then.
All right.
Andy, predictions?
I think 0-0 and then 0-0.
Brilliant. I should have gone to him first, and then you guys.
I'll take both of those. I'll take them now.
Okay. Right. That's it.
What about your prediction? Come on.
I think 1-0 Palace in both games.
There you go.
That is positive.
Good.
There we go.
Deluded.
Thank you very much. We were so close to having a positive ending there. Very close. Thank you for listening. You'll hear from us next week after the Bournemouth and Stoke games. So, goodbye.
Bye.
It's time to get your checking account to zero with free checking from PenFed. That's zero ATM fees, zero balance requirements, and zero time spent waiting for your paycheck to direct deposit because you can receive it up to 2 days early. Open your account with just $25 and see how big zero can be. Apply online today at PenFed.org/free checking. Early direct deposit eligibility may vary between pay periods and timing of payer's funding. To receive any advertised product, you must become a member of PenFed, insured by NCUA.
Podcast Network.